big rocks and all that sort of thing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
No! I'm going to speak in my singing voice, and then John is going to take over.
Yes. Who's crying now? One love feeds the fire. Two Daughter hearts burn desire. Wonder who's...
Well, John, that was a beautiful,
beautiful rendition
yes. of that famous old
classic.
From what were they? Dare? Was that Dare in the 80s? Welcome to another edition of the Johnny James Hotton Interruption Hour.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
With me, your modest host, W. M. Wall. Yeah. No, not W. W. Mick Wall. That's it. I forgot my name for a minute there. Sorry. And what does this W stand for?
Yeah.
World beating.
Champion.
Right. So today, John, the topic under discussion, as you kind of hinted at with your quite beautiful intro, is Journey.
Yeah.
And what an absolute soap opera.
They have become.
We were reviewing Metallica.
But a brilliant soap opera.
Yes.
Because it goes right to the heart of today's event.
Straight, like a shot to the heart.
Yeah, and they're to blame.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's got Trump, it's got money, it's got women.
It's got God.
It's got the devil. It's got everything. It's got private detectives.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, deep paranoia.
Yeah, well, let's be fair, lunacy.
Yeah, it's got the lot. This is, I mean, if you think Motley Crue is a rock and roll story, this, my friends, is it. So, and let's just get, we should kick it off by the person who isn't there, because he just needs a really brief mention. In the Daily Mail, on the Daily Mail website.
Paper of record.
The Daily Mail website. Yeah.
You actually go to the Daily Mail website.
Well, because I was intrigued by this link, which said, which superstar 80s singer now looks unrecognizable like this.
Oh, let me guess. Axl Rose.
No.
Let me guess. I don't know.
It just had a pap shot of strolling down the road in San Francisco, you know, looking out while the lights go down in the city. Yeah.
Was that Bruce Dickinson?
Because he's now got grey hair.
Okay. He's got any hair.
Like Bruce Dickinson, like John Bon Jovi, he's now got grey hair because he's 74.
Wow.
Steve Perry. Here's this superstar. And Steve Perry, looking good, just walking down the road, you know. And you think, yeah, there's a guy who's gone. Fuck this. You know, you give me the money that you owe me because I co-wrote all the hits.
Yeah. And sang the hits.
And, you know, when people think of Journey, I still get my bit. Like we were talking about the other day with, who were we talking about?
Metallica?
Last week on the pod? No, on the pod before that.
Motley Crue.
Mick Mars. You know, he's done a Mick Mars, but a successful Mick Mars where they have to give Perry his bit, you know.
Because Perry's got a shit hot lawyer. In fairness, I think Steve Perry, with all due respect to Bob the Dealer.
To the Dealer.
I think Steve Perry did rather more for Journey than the Dealer did for the Crue.
He did. And so Perry is out of this story. No. He's gone, I just don't want to be involved with this madness. Yeah. And he's quite happy. So he's out of it. In the middle of it is Perry's replacement.
Arnell,
as we know him.
Arnell
Pineda,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
from the Philippines.
In a Murata.
Found by Neil Sean on YouTube.
Yeah. Well,
and if you, and interestingly, if you do watch the YouTube clip that Neil Sean saw of him, and he was singing, was he singing Faithfully, I think? The big ballad from Frontiers.
Oh, the big ballad. Yeah. Oh, Journey. The big ballad from Journey. Let me think.
The midnight sun. Wheels go round and round.
You know, you even look a bit mind. Like Arnell. Yeah. You look a bit like a tall Arnell.
Yeah, better looking, better voice.
Much, much better.
Because Arnell's quite small. Arnell's quite small, but he can belt it out.
He can, he can. So and you're quite tall.
Yeah, and I can't
belt
it out.
And you can also belt it out.
But Arnell does... He does Steve Perry. I mean, I think when you replace a singer in a band, you either get someone who sounds absolutely nothing like the guy you've just had, or you get someone who sounds exactly like the guy you just had. And Arnell sounds exactly like Steve Perry. In fact, exactly like Steve Perry used to sound. Sort of
when he was good.
Well, pre-Frontiers, because Perry obviously on Escape sounded one way, and then Frontiers came out with Separate Ways and all of that. And his voice, he'd had some throat problems and cocaine. And he'd was a lot more gravelly, a lot deeper.
It happens to all singers.
Yeah.
Elton John, you listen to his biggest hits from the 70s, and he sounds like a Pinky and Perky. That's probably before your time. He sounds like a, you know, speeded up Disney character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you listen to him and it sounds like, you know, Tom Jones with a heavy cold.
Yeah.
You
know? So that's Perry kind of, so Arnell fits the bill.
Okay.
But he's obviously.
What's he got to do with, I mean.
Exactly, because he's just the pawn in the middle.
Now,
when you think about it, Journey now make their money on the road, okay? Journey
Everybody
are not going
to. Everybody makes
Journey
it. No
are
one
not,
sells
no,
records.
Exactly. Journey are not going to do what Metallica did and make an album of.
Just
15
of
new
it.
Journey songs. What's the fucking point?
I don't mean to interrupt, obviously, Mr. Interrupter, but this is a point that I thought of after we did our last pod about Metallica.
So should we go back to that? And
no, but this is relevant. It? This is okay. relevant to exactly what you just said. Is the reason Metallica, for instance, will never make another great album is because no one buys albums anymore. No one needs albums the way they used to. Albums are not the signifier on how great you are.
Yeah.
Ticket sales are and how good you are on the stage. You don't need the album to be great because no fucker listens to it and buys it anyway except a few lunatics. You just need something to give you an excuse to go back on the road.
Yeah, and Journey for the past, since the revival came when all, you know, High School Musical and The Sopranos and all of those things and their music suddenly became cool again. They've been out on the road and they've been cleaning up.
Yeah.
They've been absolutely cleaning up. I mean, millions and millions of dollars
every
year.
But here's the question. Here's the question. What the fuck is going on? Because you know, I've completely lost track, slightly lost interest because it's too complicated. It's like that soap opera that comes back for the fourth or fifth season.
So
and you kind of...
Yeah. So you've now got three sort of, I'd say, main players, haven't you? You've got Arnell, who's the pawn in the middle, but they can't exist without him.
Right.
Because he's the best Steve Perry guy without having Steve Perry.
Yeah.
And if you get rid of Arnell and then you get...
I think we've established that. Who are the other two?
Neil Sean.
Yes.
And Jonathan Cain.
Right.
Now, I think there's always been a bit of grit in Journey because they were trying to make it and trying to make it and trying to make it. Even after Perry had joined, he did two or three albums before Escape. The person that changed it when he came along was Jonathan Cain.
Yeah.
And the reason it changed was that Jonathan Cain formed a writing partnership with Steve
Neil.
Perry. Well,
oh,
with Steve,
oh, yeah.
with Steve Perry.
And,
I mean,
but Neil butting in.
There's that sort of story that Perry told when I interviewed him about the early days when Jonathan Cain joined and him and Perry had a little flat somewhere in San Francisco that they would write in, and literally within days they had written, you know, the big songs on Escape.
Yeah.
Within days.
Yeah.
And it was just magic. It was just that partnership.
They had
was just
it.
Magic. And here it was. Here was the missing piece. So I think Sean has always thought of it as his band, and to a huge degree it is his band. But Kane is the one who provided the missing piece.
Well, Kane and Perry.
And Perry. Perry's now gone. So you've got Kane who can lay claim to having written Don't Stop Believing and Open Arms and all of those things. And Sean, who can lay claim to being the original and the guitarist, which is, you know, so prominent in the band, and has also written a lot of the band's big songs. So you've got these two warring factions. You can't really have one without the other. They both need to be there. But both of them have been on these, let's say, extraordinary personal journeys, which you can now kind of clue us in, particularly on... You take the Neil side, and I'll take the Jonathan side.
All right. Well,
so tell us about Neil, your experiences of Mr. Neil Shaw.
2018, I was working with Neil on what was going to be his autobiography. We spent a long time on it. The idea was the proposal would be undeniable, a huge ledger. So we had at least three sample chapters. We had a breakdown of what every chapter would be, a timeline, sales points, bullet points. It took bloody ages. And about a year later, when the agent sent it out to publishers in New York, there was a bidding war. And the bidding war lasted about 20 minutes because the very first bid came in and it was for about $250,000. And literally as it was coming in, Neil was texting going, I'm out.
But, because you're sitting there going, oh, $250,000.
Yeah, yeah. And that's Neil, the opening
Sean's
bid.
Like, Neil Sean's like, yeah, well, you know, that's what I get per night.
Well, in fairness, he gets more than that. Yeah. But... I think he'd already decided. It just happened to the timing was very Neil, because after that, it was over a year we worked together. You know, I went to San Francisco a couple of times. I went to LA where they were on tour with Leopard, and lots of phone calls and God knows what else. So, but during that time, it reminded me a little bit of when I worked with Don Arden. But in fairness, Don was in early stages of Alzheimer's and his stories were quite gruesome and amazing.
Yeah.
But you'd sit down with Don and freaks, I go, that's a lovely day, isn't it, Don? He goes, as I told Yetlikoff, I will kill you. It was like, oh, right. Yeah, okay, well, straight into it then.
Yeah.
And he would tell the same story. He hated Yetlikoff. I'd hear about Yetlikoff all the fucking time. Neil was like that about Irving Azoff, the Germany manager.
Yeah, and also Irving Azoff, let's say, was also the Eagles manager, wasn't he?
Oh, and pretty much everybody's manager.
A legendary,
Stevie Dan.
Yeah, a legendary figure.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah. I mean, he basically owns the American music business in many ways now. But Neil got it into his head that Irving was, you know, the big, bad, crazy monster that, you know, you fought at your peril. Nevertheless, he was fighting him. And the endless stories, John, they were so crazy that when you hear one crazy story after another, it kind of just washes over you.
Yeah.
But he, you know, amongst the many things, they were doing the LA Forum with Leopard two nights. First night, Journey go on last. Second night, Leopard go on last. But they play the same length set. And Neil was warning me before we got there. He said, you know, Irving has the entire place bugged. I went, what?
Because he wants to hear the 12 Journey songs.
No, he meant the dressing
room. Yeah, no,
everywhere. I went, oh, you know, because by now I'd heard a million Irving stories. He said, so when we're in there, we can't talk about what we would like to talk about. And I'm thinking, well, thank fuck for that, because I'm sick of this. Anyway, I'm going to get into some of the other things he was saying as well, because they got weirder and weirder. But at the show, he's there with his wife, Michaela, and it's all fine, you know, apart from the paranoia. And they all have their separate dressing rooms.
Yeah.
And Neil's not talking to Jonathan or the bass player. There was like the Trump camp.
Was that Ross Valerie at that point?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who then got kicked out, I think.
Yes. I'm not sure about Steve Smith, the drummer, but he's...
He might have gone even before
that.
No,
he was
oh,
there.
Oh, he was there, was he?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
He's gone now.
He's gone now, yeah.
And Arnell was just nobody's camp, you know. He lives
well,
a very kind of private...
He is slightly camp, yeah.
He has his own brand of camp.
Yeah.
And his own special entourage.
Yeah.
And... if you hear dogs in the background, by the way, avid listeners,
that's because the room is bugged.
That's Irving setting the dogs on. So anyway, there are uniformed cops. Turned out they were private security. They're armed. They're in the full Monty.
What's the LA thing, isn't it? Where the cops all moonlight doing security.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, Journey are up there, you know, doing their thing, and I'm watching from the side, as you do, and it's amazing, you know. But then, you know, after a certain amount of time in the actuality, I my attention does start to wander a little bit. So I ended up going backstage, just for something to do.
Yeah.
You know. And I went into the dressing room area. I couldn't believe it. There's Neil's dressing room. The door is locked, because I've already seen him do that, make a big fuss of, I am locking the door, you know.
Yeah.
There's a uniformed, armed female security person.
Right. Was she wearing stockings and suspenders?
No, okay, she's wearing the full uniform.
I thought it was some sort of fantasy.
She's like in crucifixion pose, like X-shaped, like this. She's against the door like this.
You're right. Saying like this on a podcast.
Oh, sorry, Well, imagine, hold your arms up in the air.
Yeah.
If you're listening at home.
Put your arms in the air.
Put your arms in the air, but like really stretch out so it's a big, huge V. Stretch. And then your legs, part them. So that's an X or a V, whatever the fuck it is. And I'm thinking, the band are on stage. There's really no one else in here apart from me and like a roadie or something.
Yeah.
And the whole time she had her arms in the air, her legs apart, guarding the locked door with a gun.
Yeah.
And I thought, the guy's gone fucking mental.
Nuts, yeah.
Anyway, so that was LA, October 2018. I went back to San Francisco in December because the tour was over. He's at home. We're going to spend some days getting the real proper interview stuff done. Yeah. And I turn up. Now, you know me. I don't think you would ever... describe me as sartorially sophisticated.
No, you're a kind of jeans and
t-shirt
type guy. I mean, it's a classic look.
It's a classic
look. It's worked since 1975. Why change it now?
And also, you know, I haven't got any other clothes.
Yeah.
So maybe I was wearing a shirt. I don't know, but I went down to meet him and
his
missus.
You've already got on your interview shirt, you know. I'm in San Francisco.
If that was Dave Ling, that would have been a Journey t-shirt. Plus a load of Journey records
albums
and designs.
Yeah.
I've got a tape of every concert I've ever seen of yours, Neil. That would really set it.
Yeah, I did it myself. Yeah.
Would you like one from '84?
Yeah.
I'm staying in this impossibly flash hotel. So I come out of the lift. I'm meeting him and Michaela for lunch or something. As I come out of the lift, he does like a double take.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, wow. You know, American women are like, they're very, very complimentary and touchy. Oh, you look amazing. Oh, my God, you look amazing. You know, and I'm thinking, do I? I just got off a flight, 13-hour flight yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm actually fucking in a bad way. For me, it's, you know, 9 at night, and for them, it's lunchtime. And okay, cool. And we go and have lunch and blah, blah, blah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And this goes on for two or three days. Then I come home and there's a kind of a factotum, an intermediary. Too long to explain. But there's someone who is like Neil's fucking guy.
Yeah. You know?
And I'd got to know him. Good guy. And Tony. And we were talking on the phone. He said, listen, I have to ask you, have you been in touch with Irving? And I went, no.
You're Irving Azoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, you're Irving Azoff. Yeah.
Oh, not the other Irving.
Yeah.
I went, no, why? He goes, Neil is convinced Irving has reached out to you. And I went, what are you talking about? He said, well, apparently when you turned up in San Francisco, you were wearing like brand new clothes.
Yeah.
Really expensive.
And you usually look like shit.
Yeah, basically. Well, that was the understood part that didn't need to be expressed. But I'm thinking, what? I turned up in what? New expensive.
That's the first thing you do with your Irving Azoff money, is buy a load of really expensive clothes.
Clearly, Irving had reached out and said to me, look, I really want to fuck Neil up. So the first thing I want to do is give you thousands of dollars. Go out and buy some new clothes.
Yeah.
Wear them when you meet Neil.
Because that's the sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went, are you fucking kidding me? He goes, I know. He goes, I know. I just have to ask. I went, Tony, I don't even know what I was wearing. I said, you've seen me, Tony. Can you imagine me in new classy clothes? He went, look, I know. This is just day to day with Neil, okay? He said, he's convinced that you are now colluding with Irving.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, fuck's sake. And then, you know how paranoid people, stuff, coincidences do happen that convince them. There you are. There's the proof.
They kind of
crop up.
We are talking about the conspiracy age. Yeah.
There was a channel in America. I can't remember what the fuck it was called. It'll come back to me later, of course, when I doesn't matter. But it was just like a music documentary channel, and one music documentary after another. And it so happened that about a year before, I had quick for shit money appeared in 10 of these. We did like 3 a day. 10 of these. Focusing on an artist, so Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, whatever. And I was all over it like a cheap suit. And Neil had been watching these because they were just showing them in America. I didn't know any of this. And in the middle of all that, because it's back-to-back music documentaries, so there's the series, the 10-part series I'm in, but there's endless other series. In the middle of all this, a Journey documentary is put out by these people. I'm not in it.
Oh.
Nothing to do with it. I know nothing. I don't even get the channel. It's America. And in the middle of seeing me in these endless things, there's another documentary. Of course, it's made by the same people and it's shot in the same hotel room. Because they do things on movies and the cheap fucking production company just churn it out. And I see it on the telly all the time and I laugh because it's always the same room. And he said, but you weren't in the Journey documentary.
And
that has tipped him off because because obviously you and Irving have said, right, you're not, don't do that because Neil sucks.
Neil put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going, tell me more about this Journey documentary. Turns out the Journey documentary is about 20 years old. Right. And I finally got it on the internet, and it's just a complete useless piece of shit.
Yeah.
Just a load of video clips with a voice. And in the 80s, they were one of the biggest bands in the world. Don't stop believing. Yeah, Neil's in it for about 10 seconds. You know, but oh, yeah, and that was the other thing. And Neil's hardly in it.
Yeah.
More proof that you...
And the Irving.
You and Irving.
Yeah.
He thinks Irving owns that channel. I'm like, Jesus Christ almighty. Yeah. So I literally had to email Neil. I had to ring Neil and explain. Neil, I swear, I might have met Irving once back in the 80s or something. I wouldn't even, you know. Anyway, that went on and on and on. different weird, you know, he'd ring me at 9 o'clock at night, be on the phone for 2 hours.
Yeah.
There was some conspiracy over why it was taking so long to... The reason it was taking so long was the agent was a fucking Journey fan and was going through the proposal with a fine-tooth comb. Well, I'm going, Matthew, they're not even going to read past the second page. Yeah. Just send it out.
Yeah.
Which all culminated in the day of the bidding. The first bid comes in, and literally as it's coming in,
as you're about to spend the money on expensive new clothes, it's snatched from your hand.
But the stuff he told me during those periods, it was all Irving all the time.
Yeah.
And he went to meet Irving at his house and he knew it was bugged and he was being filmed. He got lawyers in, but as soon as they found out it was Irving, Irving bought them off. And
yeah.
Oh my God, John. He told me that Irving had his own people at the shows each night on the Leopard Tour, that they had manhandled his wife, the roadies were in on it.
And you think that it couldn't get any madder,
but it has, hasn't
but
it?
But then you cross to the other side, to the to the Jonathan Cain side, and you think, like, Cain, okay, he always struck you as a sort of normal bloke, you know. He's not really a rock star per se. He's a
piano
writer.
Player.
Yeah, he's a really good keyboard player, and he's a songwriter.
Yeah,
that's what he is. He's not sort of kind of huge, egotistical type rock star bloke.
No.
Right. He's just the keyboard player in Journey. He happens to write the songs. Immensely rich and should have a lovely life, you know.
Well,
a bit like Steve Perry has, you know.
Except. He married the wrong
bird. Here it comes up. One day I'm looking in the online at something and I see this bloke and I thought, sure, I recognise him, but he sort of looked like a Vegas magician. Like, he's got like a ridiculous suit,
white,
right?
A
like
with
a
silver
kind of
lapels.
Ludicrous suit, yeah, with like really stupid suit.
Was he wearing a white top?
He's got two tigers behind him. he's got like, you know, sideburns that have been sort of razored down.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Because looks cool.
Mysterious. He's like going to do you know, it's like that. I don't know if you've ever seen that episode of The IT Crowd where Jen, the woman, she gets told her boyfriend looks like a magician and she can't go out with him anymore once she notices it. He looks like a, you know, he looks like a kind of Vegas magician.
Does he say, pick a card?
Yeah,
card.
I mean,
any card.
Thinking, and he's, and next to him is this blonde woman, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and
Paula.
It's not him that the photo's of, but it's her. Because the headline is all about, this is Donald Trump's spiritual advisor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So this is when Trump was just starting to do his run for president. And he obviously, like Trump, who did the classic, that time when he was president and he was sort of seen, he had to take, there was a riot going on or something, and he walked over there holding the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, because he was, well, and they said to him, what's your favourite bit of the Bible? And he goes, I don't like to discuss that.
And he was holding it upside
down. You know, but so Trump's got a kind of appeal to, you know, the MAGA crowd, which is really the Christian right.
Nutters.
The Christian right, who are, yeah, so he's got a spiritual advisor who happens to be a blonde, good-looking blonde woman.
But she was also one of those TV evangelists.
Yeah, she was a TV, so it transpires. She's a TV evangelist. She's had previously been married to this guy who'd started one of those super ministries, where they're like, the sole purpose seems to be to get them to send you money, to get you to send them money. And I don't know what they think's happening to the money, but...
In that year I was working with him, we would it sort of went in the circle of him sending out video clips of her. And there was just one amazing one early in 2019. And it was just a clip of her on telly essentially saying, if you don't send me $30 right now, you are going to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
God, if you believe it...
Why are we not onto this scam? We should be onto this one.
We should.
Because
God loves rock and roll.
We're men of God. I mean,
God made rock and roll
God,
for you.
God gave rock and roll
God
to you.
Oh, God. Sorry, that was it. Yeah, to you.
Yeah.
I don't get that at the end.
But
your mate wrote that, didn't he?
He did, Russ Ballard.
Your neighbour.
Yeah.
Your fucking neighbour.
He's not my neighbour. He lives in Tring.
Yeah. Well, that's to you, that's a neighbour. That's the next mansion along.
So Paula is this woman's name. So she's had this, like, she had a kind of long marriage to this guy, but they'd sort of mysteriously broken up.
Well, God sent word.
God said to her, "You've now got enough money from this guy. Go forth and find another guy.
Another patsy, another guy."
And I was looking at this photo, I'm thinking, I fucking recognise that guy. And it says in the caption, Paula White with her husband, Jonathan Kane. Yeah. And I'm like, no, this can't be. I mean, no, for
God. It was her that got him and Valerie and Kid Rock, was it? All of them in Trump's Oval Office.
Yeah, so it's now not. Now Jonathan Kane has converted, has become this evangelical Christian. And I think, you know, was last seen hilariously at Mar-a-Lago, which is Trump's sort of, playing Don't Stop Believing on the keyboard for the women at the Mar-a-Lago to dance about to.
Yeah.
And his view, his argument is, I wrote it. I'll fucking play it where I like. Which you have to say, fair enough.
Although, you know, Neil does get a co-credit on this.
He does get a co-credit. So I'm pretty sure that the crux of this latest lawsuit between the two of them is that Sean is trying to stop him playing Journey songs at Trump premises.
I have sympathy.
So do I.
But to add to the Kane delight, again, another one of those "you see what I'm talking about" moments. While we were working on what was going to be Neil's book, Kane brings out his autobiography. Right. Guess what it's called?
I know.
Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, yeah, I should have guessed that. Yeah. Of course, it is perfect, isn't it?
I was thinking of that for Neil's book.
Don't Stop Believing in Trump. Don't Stop Believing in God.
It was published by a religious publisher that only published Christian books.
Yeah, and I wonder who had shares in that. I'm sure the name Paula White would crop up.
So by the time I came on the scene, the narrative that was introduced, that was presented to me, was that Paula was either hypnotizing him.
Well, it's because he's a magician. He's a magician's assistant. She's like, whoa, yeah. Darren Brown. She's Darren Browning him.
Feeding him drugs, put him in a permanent state of gaga. And I'm listening to going, oh, come on, you know. But when we were, because Matthew was there and some other people were there.
Matthew's your agent,
sorry,
I should say.
2018, at the Sunset Marquee, inevitably, because that's where they're all staying. And we're sitting in the, I don't know when you were last there, but it's all changed. You used to sit around the pool.
Yeah.
Now there's sort of this restaurant cafe bit round the back, and you sort of sit around there. It's near where the bungalows are. And of course, they were all in bungalows. And we'd be sitting there having a coffee, and every now and again you'd see one of them wander by or one of them have a coffee. Never Neil or Michaela, because they literally slept all day and up all night. Paranoia.
They're living out the slaughter dream.
They are.
Yeah.
But then you'd see Paula and Jonathan just walk straight past you. And again, of course, we're not visual, so I can't. But she would be walking ahead of him.
Yeah.
Like, quite sort of, you know, I hope everybody recognises me because I'm Paula. What's her name?
Is it Paula White? I think it's something.
I keep going to say Paula Yates. Paula
Yates.
No, I know. I realise that, of course. But, and then coming behind her, but lumbering, honestly, with like head down, slowly lumbering. If she'd had a leash around his neck and was pulling him over her shoulder, she didn't, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And Matthew, the agent, Journey of the best band in the world for Matthew. Steve Perry in particular. But that era. And at one point, Kane's just sitting on a bench sort of waiting for Paula to come back. Literally just sitting there staring into space. And Matthew goes to me, "Do you think now would be a good time to go and say hi to him?"
I'd have gone immediately, yes.
I did. Yeah. I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
Get him on his own.
Yeah. Take your albums over. Yeah.
So Matthew, bless him, goes over, a genuine fan, thrilled to And the bloke's looking at him like, doesn't he know what he's talking about? You know, and Matthew goes to shake his hand and, you know, he does that thing where he sticks his hand out, but, you know, there's no one home.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not the one saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not the one saying he was hypnotised on drugs.
She's hypnotised him and left him on a bench till she can pick him up later.
Well, you know, yeah. I'm telling you, it just seemed a bit.
She goes, Jonathan. And he just hears the code word and he just sits there till she comes back. It's like Derren Brown. I saw Derren Brown on the TV last night. That's what he's doing. And he made people forget their names. I mean, if you can do that, you can make Jonathan Cain forget that he's fucking supposed to be in Journey.
I've set up a series of gigs for us at old people's homes where we're going to see if we can make them forget their name.
Yeah. That's Derren Brown's trick.
But can he make them sing Don't Stop Believing?
He probably could. I mean, he didn't, but he probably could.
Well, he missed a trick there.
Yeah.
Well, Derren, although Neil would have,
if you're listening,
the lawsuit. So break it down, because I keep hearing what
Jonathan Cain is saying. This is the latest row, is that Sean is objecting to Journey essentially being co-opted by Donald Trump. Because Trump's had this. Trump started off, didn't he, had Born in the USA, and Springsteen said, fuck that. You know, and Trump had to desist because Springsteen has got the clout to, you know, to get him to stop doing that. So he ended up with, you know, I don't know, some other stuff. But now he's got Paula White and Jonathan Cain. Don't Stop Believing is perfect, isn't it? You know, it's an all-American anthem. It has the right message. You know, it's all of those. Trump's going to love that, isn't he?
But what's this business about? And Cain is counter-suing, saying Sean has racked up millions on a credit card, a banned credit card.
A banned credit card, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he has.
You know about that?
No, but maybe he has. What's he spent it on?
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, if you look on his... I don't, but occasionally people I know send me things because it's funny. You know, he's just bought... I think about a month after, or 2 weeks after I'm Out.
Yeah.
There was a picture of him on Twitter or his Facebook or something. You know, he just bought this brand new $1 million fucking supercar.
Yeah, that's probably what he spent it on. Yeah. Cars and stuff like that. Yeah.
So, where will it end?
Well, I mean, the point is they're all kind of, you know, I was saying at the start, they're sort of yoked together, aren't they? I mean, Sean probably couldn't sell Journey without Jonathan Cain and Steve Perry. You know, I think you're really stretching it then, aren't you? He's got rid of Steve Smith. Now what he's got is him and Jonathan Cain plus a guy who sounds exactly like Steve Perry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you then
Which
get
is
rid
good
of,
for most people. You, what are the Eagles? Don Henley and a load
exactly,
of strangers.
Yeah. So maybe he could. Maybe if he, you know, if Cain. But then you've always, if you're doing that, you're always leaving it the door open for Cain and Perry to get back together.
In fact, I've only just remembered because I got to know Greg Rowley a little bit in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
and
I mean, maybe he could come back.
Well. Sean tried to bring him back.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, then.
So in March, when they got to Austin, Texas, which is where Greg lives these days, Greg got up and played with them. But way before Christmas, what I was hearing from the Greg camp was that Sean was moving heaven and earth to see if he could get Greg back in the band full time.
And get rid of Cain.
Well, presumably.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I don't think even Neil probably knew the answer to that. But I think it was, you know, so he'd have Kostranova, is it, on the drums?
Oh, they've got them now.
Ken on the bass.
Because Kostranova was in... Because when Sean did... what was it? He did Damn Yankees. Was it Damn Yankees he was in?
No. Bad English.
Bad English.
Yeah.
Kostranova was in that, wasn't he? With John Waite, who ironically was in The Babies with Jonathan Cain.
With Jonathan Cain.
Yeah.
It's incestuous.
It is incestuous, round and round. And then, of course, John Waite's deep connection to Lisa Dominique. Yeah.
Well, which is
revealed by me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Revealed by you.
Yeah. All the big stories come to me.
Right, John. And on that bombshell, yeah. I mean, there are other things we're going to discuss in terms of groups being soap operas. But we'd be here all day. I mean, if you know, Guns N' Roses, is there a band where there isn't a soap opera?
Well, probably not. But I mean, the Journey one is
spectacular.
Excessive, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And is it going to ruin people enjoying
their music? I don't know.
I
mean, the point is, there's just so much, as ever, there's so much money at stake, isn't there? But in the end, you've seen the show. I mean, the show is great. Mm. It doesn't matter if they come in separate limos and they all hate each other. And if the show's good, that's what counts, isn't it?
The show must go on.
Exactly.
And on that bombshell.
Yeah, we say farewell.
Farewell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How do I stop this, Fern?